that any should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into the rest, as he said, as I've sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. You know, he left them a promise of entering into the promised land. The rest was the promised land. A promise given to a whole generation. He said they couldn't enter in because of unbelief. They did not mix the faith with what they heard. It's not enough to have the mysteries of heaven. It's not enough, even though they're amazing, beyond wonderful. It's not enough to have all knowledge, although it's needed. It's not enough to have the spirit of wisdom, although it's needed. There must be the mixing of the faith. It was a requirement above all requirements. And because they didn't, that whole generation had to die off in the wilderness. The unbelief is like a cancer. When it begins, it spreads. It can spread. It spread among the leaders. Tribal leaders, the fierce ones. They're supposed to be the lions. 10 of the 12 conquered by unbelief and doubt. Infuriated God. He expects us. Think about it. They had to wander in the same wilderness for 40 years. They never got a change of scenery. They never got even an oasis moment. Very few. They were able to go in the promised land for those 40 days. They had to wander a year for every day they were there and rejected what God said. If we're not ready to meet the giants, it's because we didn't prepare ourselves. We don't ever know when a giant is going to show up. You never know when you're going to be in front of one. You never know when the battle of all battles is at hand. You never know when the trying of your faith is going to take place. You never know when you're in a storm of all storms. You have to be ready. You never know when the enemy is going to try to attack your body. You got to be ready. I keep a shield around my body. I keep it constantly. You hear us. I pray it every day. I don't want to pray for a shield. We work the shield. But you got to have your faith as alive, because knowledge is not going to bring the kingdom of God into the earth. Even the mysteries of God, they in themselves won't bring him into the earth. I'm talking revival status, hundredfold glory, this stuff where crown, promised land. It's mixing the faith. That's an action. It's activity. That's our part. God has a part. We have a part. And if we don't fulfill our, some people adopt the belief system, well, God will just do it. He's sovereign. He is sovereign. But he's going to do it with you. If God is just could do it, he would already done it. He put it in man's. He gave man the dominion. The power of attorney of his name, he works with us. He works predominantly with our faith. He struggles with our toil. He doesn't work with our toil. He doesn't work with our labors. He works with us, and he teaches us how to work with him. The certain things that please him, certain things that don't please him. Certain things you can do and certain things you can't do. One thing you can do, and you can go full throttle, faith. You can go full throttle. You never can have too much faith. Definitely don't want too little of faith. Absolutely don't want no faith. How is it you have no faith? But when said the Lord returns, will he find faith? Faith is a breeding ground for God. Faith is an atmospheric breeding ground. Faith can move you out of a storm into quietness of heart. Faith can move the mountains around you and keep you from being moved by the mountains around you. Faith can override circumstantial evidence, but it's faith that has to be mixed. And a lot of people don't like to do that. A lot of people like to just lay down. Those days are really over, I'm telling you. He didn't call us to lay down. He called us to stand in the grace. There's a time to lay down. There's a time to speak. We have to keep our mouth, our spirit, our belief system in alignment with Him. We follow Him. We keep His word. That word we keep grows. It elevates. It enlightens. It floods our heart. And we have a vision then. We have compass then. So when we pray, we're not just praying blank prayers. We see what we're praying. We're standing in where. Prayer is a lot about where you stand, not just what you pray. It's where you stand when you pray. Where are you? All those things come in alignment. The word is an amazing in its ability to align us, keep us in the frequency, keep us next to Him. It's an amazing place to be with Him. Not so amazing when you're not with Him. So people, they'll get to tracking with Him. I see it all the time. And I used to do this a lot till He broke that. Because I just learned it's just going to be a lot easier for me if I just do it all the time. It's going to get real painful if I ever stop. So people will get tracking a while, they get going, they get going, going, and suddenly they get distracted, or a big storm comes in their life, something happens, or they get off center and they're off chasing a carrot somewhere, and all of a sudden, they just stop. They stop their pursuit. But it's like an ocean liner. Once you get it cranked up, it rolls. You ever seen the Titanic? The Titanic was on the water, man, and they see this big iceberg way out in front of them. Well, you're just not going to turn that ocean liner. Just, it doesn't steer like a little 18-foot boat. I think it takes a long time to turn. Even more to slow down. They've shoved those engines in reverse, full throttle, and it still wasn't slowing down, because once something that large gets momentum, it moves. So what happens is you'll get momentum to move in God, and then the distraction comes, or the storm comes, or because of being a novice, we lay the sword down. But the ocean liner keeps going, so it seems like everything's fine. So we go along, everything's fine, everything's fine, everything's fine. But slowly, everything that was built, all the momentum suddenly dissipates. You have no more power, you have no will to stand, there's no strength to stand, but everything's cool. Everything's calm. Now the enemy is ready to bring another storm, but this time you're not ready for the storm. And this is why you see people just get devastated, because now they have no shield. Where they had a shield before, now it's not there. They have no strength, and the enemy just puts a whooping. And you'll see people just completely devastated. You go through a couple of those. Now, I speak by experience, because I've done that before. Probably all have at one point in time. When you learn a couple of things about walking in God, you don't get to lay the sword down. Because you already know that what I just described is going to happen. Because there's no getting around that. You have enemies around you. And the higher you get, the deeper you get. It doesn't matter your sphere. You could speak to 10 people with authority from heaven. Jesus had his 12. He had 1, 3, 12, 70, 120. So, all of that, he had his sphere around him. He had the glory around him. When you have that upon you, you have enemies. But when you have enough glory around, God will keep those enemies at bay. He'll keep them at bay. It's amazing how his shield works in our life. Amen? But you lay down that kind of thing, and those enemies will come through. They'll come through the gate. They'll come barreling through. His shield is promised when we do our part. When we mix the faith, he will keep his shield around you constantly. seeing the angelic authority around me. I'm constantly seeing the plumb line around me, constantly seeing the wall of fire, seeing all the time. I like walking around without the enemy beating up on me. I like living in God's bubble. You get to the point where you like living in his bubble. I don't like being stomped on. Man, I got all authority and power. I understand that, but you're in his territory. You have all authority and power if you're surrounded by God. But if you're out of alignment and your sword has been laid down, you can get rended. If you get rended, it only took a couple of those times. You don't want to get rented anymore. So I found it's a lot easier because it takes so much time. If you ever get to that point where you laid the sword down, to get back where you were. How many of you ever done that before? How long it took you to get back? It takes like almost eternity to get back. Because I remember I was like, I just got to get back to that place I was at before. I got to get back because you lose ground. You had to climb the mountain all over again. It's like you fell the whole way down. You ever seen a skier that fell? You should watch like reels or something. He falls from the top of the mountain. This boom, 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 boom. If he didn't break anything, imagine you got to climb all the way back up just to get back where you were. I found it so much easier just to stay. Now, I might miss a day or two. On vacay, I might miss 4 or 5, but I'm not going to miss weeks on. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to miss. The reason, because you get a certain level of oomph around you. Spiritual oomph. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You get a certain shield, a strength, a momentum in your spirit. Your spirit has a momentum. Even if the enemy's fighting, your spirit's got something on you. And it's a lot easier. And especially when you're doing this kind of stuff where you're going up and down the mountain, you're having to press through atmospheres. You got to be ready for that kind of thing. To walk up and down that mountain, it takes the strength to do that. You're not just speaking words. You have to have the dunamis to do that. You have to have a strength, because what he's teaching us now is to bring that authority down and command atmospheres to obey in his name and to create a plumb line of glory that surround. I want to talk to you about the plumb line. Go to Zechariah 4. All right, we're going to shift into gear now. Mixed faith now. I want to talk to you about the plumb lines. Zechariah 4, verse 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. He sees the golden lampstand. Saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. He said, who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Now, this Zerubbabel here is talking about King Jesus. The return of the king. King Jesus Zerubbabel. He shall bring forth, who art thou, great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. He will bring forth the headstone, the final stone of the church. With shoutings, saying, grace, grace unto the mountain. That grace, grace is the two offices. The grace, grace is the two olive trees. There's a lot of graces up in there. But mainly it's the two offices. The one he spoke of in Zechariah 3, and the one he's speaking of now. Zechariah 3 was priestly office, and now Zechariah 4, the kingly office. Both graces will come to fullness before in this move he's speaking of here. He says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands, this is you. If you ever want to see yourself in the Bible, that is you. He is talking specifically about an end time church that's laying a foundation for an end time house. And we are those hands. So the hands of Zerubbabel, see plural hands, that's us. That is speaking about us right there. Could be some more, but I guarantee you that is us. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. He's speaking of an end time house that would be greater than Solomon. Eventually that house would come into a 1,000 year millennial reign with Christ. It's the restoration of the house of David. He took it up in Acts chapter 1, bringing it back down. The church will have the first witness. And then it'll move to judgment. Then it'll go into the 1,000-year millennial reign. But this house will stand all the way through. Once this house comes in, it's the reemergence of the house of David, the crown, all of it is setting up for the millennial reign of Christ. The foundations of that house have been laid. Notice what it says, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid, not going to lay. Don't you glad he did it in the face of God? In fact, the face of God's in there. He says, before Zerubbabel, before the face, Penuel, before the face of Zerubbabel, thou shalt become level ground. He already spoke our end. He said we would lay the foundation. He said it before we ever began. We've come to a fullness of revelation. There's never a end, but there's been a fullness of revelation of the emergence of this house. Old Testament, New Testament, mysteries, white horse, Zechariah 4, Zechariah 6, Zechariah 10, Revelations 3, 4, 5, and so on. Revelations of the right hand of God, returning the glory from down. All that's the foundations of the house, the whole mountain going up and down. Hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundations of this house. His hands, say his hands, shall finish. Say the hands do finish. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. Actually, it says the hands do finish is what the original says. The hands do finish. So the foundation's laid. Now he's going to get into this thing called the plumb line. For who has despised or despised not the day of the small beginning? For they shall rejoice and see. There you are again, they. Now some of your translations are wrong. It says the seven eyes shall rejoice. That's not it. Say they is you, the hands. The hands are going to rejoice and see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven, with the seven spirits of God. For they are the eyes of the Lord that run to and fro the whole earth. The seven spirits of God are released in Revelations chapter 5. They go into all the earth. But it says that the hands of Zerubbabel, it says they rejoice and shall see the plumb line. I'll tell you a little bit about the plumb line. The plumb line is, of course, we know it's that instrument that's dropped. It was a carpenter's plumb line. They would drop it. It was an alignment instrument. And when they drop it, they could build vertically, perfectly, because the weight at the bottom of the string would create a perfect vertical line. So they could make their building perfectly vertical. So it was a vertical operation that was dropped from top down. This operation doesn't start from bottom up. It starts from top down, means before the plumb line is in full effect, we have to already be in ascended position. We have to already be clothed on high because we're coming down upon our circumstance. We are not meeting the enemy face to face as far as waking up and just challenging. We're coming down from a position of authority. We've been ascended into authority. The Bible says we were raised together, made to sit together. The Bible says he was raised into glory and honor, made to sit down at the right hand of God, and God put all things under his feet. We were raised with him in glory and honor. We were made to sit down, put all things under our feet as joint heirs with him. So when we come down, we're moving down an ascended position. So we're moving down, descending a plumb line. So the plumb line is an instrument, but it's building in an area. There's an area. In other words, you're not going to utilize faith for the whole world. You're not called to every city, state. Now I know, go into all the world. That's the great commission of his entire body. It's not your personal great commission to go in every single place in the whole earth because you can't do it. Too many people. In other words, we all have a sphere of influence. We have a sphere of authority. We have a God-ordained calling and sphere. We have to understand what we're called to do by being in relationship with God. So I remember this guy, he was dealing with some big financial stuff, and he asked me to pray for this lady in Africa. I said, she's very big in Africa. She's very son, but she's under a lot of witchcraft. Because I have stood over this guy's house several times. He asked me to come. I don't do that without permission. And I was able to break the warfare around this. And I dropped down with and we shattered the warfare. And he goes, man, that's so good. Would you do this for this lady? I said, oh, why not? Hallelujah. So he just kind of showed me where she was in the map. I said, I just kind of need to know the general vicinity. And make sure I have her permission. She said, oh, yes, yeah. Got her on the phone. She goes, oh, yes, yes, yes. Come, please. I dropped down over there. There was like lightning and thunder. You know, I felt, man, she goes, oh, my God, I'm so set free. She's on the other side of the world. She goes, I never feel atmosphere like this. I'm like, hallelujah. The next day, that night, all them devils, they were in Africa, showed up at my door. I was in a 3-day storm. I'm like, what is going on? I picked a fight with things that I had no business being in. Them guys come over here and showed up at my house for 3 days. I'm like, what is going on? And God said, don't ever do that again without asking me. Don't go stand in darkness just because you can stand in darkness. Because you go pick a fight with things you're not called to fight with. You may have slayed them, but they slayed you too. You're not called to fight them. They'll wear you out. You're called to exercise authority where I call you to exercise. I need you over here in this field, and you're over there messing around in areas. Let somebody else do that. Because in the long run, I did nothing for her. But I picked a big fight. I may have broken some things off her, but she was right back in the middle of it because she don't know how to get free, and she wants to do it her way, you know. And I'm not here to train her. I am here to train her, but she's not going to listen to me. I can't just go and do that. Do you understand what I'm saying? So there's wisdom involved with the plumb line. But there's sphere of authority. And the way that authority works, I like to call it the Jericho model. Jericho was a city, but God surrounded the city. He hired the priest, the 7 eyes, and the priests, and they would carry the ark of glory. They would blow 7 trumpets, the 7 horns. It was a type and shout of the end time crown. 7 eyes, 7 horns. And they would, what? Encompass the city or draw a circle around it. This is where we got the idea of circle, the cylinder, the plumb line. Look at it like a cylinder. When Jacob was in Bethel and God opened the heavens and he saw the ladder, the angels coming up and down the ladder. When they were walking up and down, there was an open heaven that God was at the top of the ladder and he spoke to him. And Jacob had an amazing encounter at the bottom of the ladder. And he goes, this must be the house of God. And there was glory. Okay, that glory was concentrated glory. That glory wasn't over all the land of Israel. It was right there. Okay? So, in other words, there was a perimeter around that open heaven. It wasn't over the whole earth. The open heaven has perimeters. When Jesus told Nathanael, you'll see the angels ascend and descend upon me. You'll see greater things than these. He was telling him, you're going to see what makes this work. Whenever you see the angels are free to ascend and descend, that means second heaven influence or prince of the power of the air has been shut down within the vicinity of the plumb line. I like to see it like a cylinder. Think of a glass cylinder that's stretched like round cylinder from heaven all the way to the earth. Now that glass cylinder can grow or expand, stretch forth the curtain of my habitation. Look at it as a living pillar of glory. A pillar is round. Okay, he can stand with you as a pillar. It doesn't mean the pillar has to be 1 foot diameter. What if he's a 35-foot diameter pillar? What if it's a 50-foot diameter? What if it's a pillar that can surround a whole city like it did Jericho? Okay, so we see it's a circular. I like to see it a circle. Well, thank God for Google, because all you got to do is just Google your address, and Google will drop straight down over your house. You can go up and down. You can hit this little button, draw a circle, and boom, you got the picture. And zoom up and down. I used to do that. I just go up and down, up and down, up and down. And then I get the idea. I was like, because I'm coming down, up and down, up and down. So I just, Google gives you the imagery you need. House, over this house, anything. So when I'm praying, I'm coming down from the position. There's certain things that I want to be aware of in my faith. It's very important. I'm going to use the Jericho model because when he came to Joshua, the thing that he said to him, he said, are you for us or against us? You know, Joshua drew his sword. He says, I am the Lord of hosts, basically. He goes, I'm the Lord of the angelic army of heaven. That's how he introduced himself. That means he brought his armies. They're the ones that tore the walls down. You couldn't see them because they were already around Jericho before this already started. So I want to be aware of like what Zechariah 2 says, there's a wall of fire that surrounds. And also the Bible talks about God comes as a whirlwind. The whirlwind's circular motions. We don't know that the rushing mighty wind in Acts chapter 2 wasn't the whirlwind of God. It doesn't mean it just went north to south. It could have been going around and around and around like that. But he also says his chariots of fire, his chariots, our God cometh with fire, his chariots as a whirlwind. So this cylinder motion, ministering flames of fire, wall of fire, I want to see and be aware of that cylinder that's around me. Cylinder that encompasses. Authority that's encompassing. And glory within. Jericho had both the crown and the ark. I want to see the ark in. I want to see angels ascending. I want to say it, see it. I want to be aware that the chariots of fire, the horsemen too, the warriors are present, the harness. All the angelic armies. Call them the innumerable company. Let God send as many as you need, but surround your life, your family, your house, your body with a protective wall. Most time people's angels sit around and do nothing. There are people who've had vision of angels sitting around bored because people don't engage them because they can't work unless you engage faith. We work with God and the angels work with us. They're sent to minister on the behalf of what? The heirs, not the orphans, but the heirs. More angels come through joint heirship. So I want to see that wall of fire every day. I want to know that protection. So I monitor my life. If I start seeing too many storms around me, I know my walls are down. Amen. First, I'm going to check and see if it's me. You know, is this me? You know, what's going on here? But do I want to get that shield back up? Yeah, it's always, I always start with me, you know. That's probably a good place to start. But I want that shield that's surrounding and up and around. Gotta have that shield. This doesn't take long, but man, when you do it, you get the benefits because people who go after revival that don't know what they're doing, they walk right into warfare zone. There's people who live in first and second, third grade Christianity, they don't deal with near the level of storms that people who live in the realm of the glory or access or go for. When you go for it, you provoke warfare because the enemy don't want anybody approaching that place. So you have to learn how to do it without getting taken out or getting beat up. When we go after this, we need to be able to stay shielded, stay above, risen position. Now God's instructing us to come down into the Jericho models to take dominion. Now that we're in the Jericho models, we're here to take dominion. In taking dominion, you're going to challenge the enemy. You cannot challenge the enemy in your own strength. Even if you have the name of Jesus, you have to be clothed to challenge him. You have to be coming from a position of being in Christ, with Christ, clothed in righteousness, life, love. You gotta have all that on you when you're coming down to take a position in God. The Bible says we're possessors of heaven and earth, possessors of the gates of the enemy. You're not just gonna walk into the gate of the enemy, you have to be trained to take the gate of the enemy. They've been there, and the longer they've been there, the bigger they are, of course the harder they fall, but you gotta be trained for it. So when we come down, we want to be inside that plumb line. We want the sensation of that plumb line around us. We want to know that it's been built. We want to have confidence those angels are there. We want to know that our God is our exceeding great shield. We're armed with authority. We want to see them up, going up and down his name. We want to be aware the crown is with us. Amen. The priests were like the seven eyes. The priests were the eyes. They walked around, seven of them, with blowing seven trumpets. I see the crown there. They were circling the wagon. Amen. Circling the city. God was carving out a part of the promised land. He says, we're going to make this my territory. and we're going to show all the inhabitants of the promised land who's boss. He didn't take the entire promised land that day. He just took the cornerstone stronghold. He said, when I take this one out, they're all going to hear, and it's going to provoke fear in the ranks of the enemies. Because to then, nobody even cared about the children of Israel. But God was about to put something on display. They heard about it, but they weren't afraid. That's a double-walled city, by the way, Jericho. So God had it all. He also had the operation of the face of God there. He didn't just arbitrarily walk around. Jesus appeared to him. He was still appearing to him. In Joshua 5, he appeared to him. In Joshua 6, he was still there. When it said, now Jericho is shut up, he's still standing there. When he gives him the instructions, he's already in the face of God, walked him out to the seventh day, and he rehearses the whole battle that he's confronting him with in the seventh day. He's telling him, on the seventh day, in the prolongation of the ram's horns of the Jubilee, you will walk around the city. Actually, he says, you have circled the city. You've compassed the city seven times. In the prolongation of the ram's horns of the Jubilee, Jericho's walls have fallen. That's how it says. So he's rehearsing this battle, standing in the seventh day. He's with Joshua. He brings Joshua back into time. He says, do exactly what you just saw me do. I can only do what I see him doing. But what you see him doing is defined by the revelation of the face of God. You want to really move a mountain in the earth, you got to operate in that realm. That is a mountain moving realm. So he sees it. In the face of God, he comes, he equips it, and he starts doing exactly what he saw. He's putting an action to his faith, but he's doing exactly what was revealed to him in the face of God. So the plumb line has angelic authority. The plumb line has the operations of the face of God. The plumb line, I like to see it as circle or encompassing. It can grow and expand. It's defined by what God has called you to possess. The plumb line is going to possess the earth. It's going to remove the enemy. The plumb line always sees the end before the battle. You know what he said? See, it takes him the seventh day. I have given you Jericho. He didn't say, I'm going to give you Jericho today. He didn't say that. See, I have given and her king. Because he's speaking from the done realm. So the plumb line is a done realm or finished work operation. So it's also a position you stand in the plumb line. Being able to move up and down, because the Bible says there's a people in the last days can move up and down and strengthen his name. It's also to and fro. The seven spirits of God move to and fro. He can move to and fro geographical boundaries. The easiest way I explain to you, you don't have to have an encounter to do this. If you see your home and a circle on your home and you close your eyes and stand over your home by faith, if you do that long enough, you'll start standing over your home in authority. That's how I stood over there. I didn't have to be lifted out of my body and taken over to Africa. If you wait for that to happen, you can wait a long time. There are people that God uses like that. He don't use me like that. He defines a position by his word. And he says, stand there by faith. He gave me a Jericho model. Jericho model I do for my house. I do for this thing God has me do. I'm going to do it for the church. But every time you see us doing that, I'm seeing all this. I'm not just saying. I am seeing the plumb line. I'm seeing the angels circle. I'm seeing the crown coming down. I'm seeing the glory in the midst. I see the angels ascending. And what I want the sensation of now is all second heaven influence within this cylinder departed. The Lord says, start taking authority of everything within the cylinder. And in other words, if the cylinder is around this church, everything from here to heaven, we have authority. We don't wake up and start addressing it here. We come down. Amen. That means it's under our feet. You need to see the enemy under your feet. If you challenge him face to face, that's not the way you do it. You challenge him from a position, an elevated position in Christ. You see him under your feet. Behold, you will tread upon the serpent. And the dragon, the adder. See that? So we see it from the elevator. We're going to address some things in the plumb line. We're going to address what's called the prince of the power of the air. He's everywhere, by the way. The enemy's very active these days. Principalities, powers, they're real. They're atmospheric. They rule in a second heaven position. They are also up and down in the earth. We have authority in any part of that plumb line. You have authority now to exercise authority. Your home's the perfect place to do this. And command all that to be shattered, broken, dismantled. For all the way from second heaven to the earth, we want a Garden of Eden, basically. A liberated Garden of Eden within the plumb line that's been defined. Do you see that? It's a Garden of Eden atmosphere that surrounds, that encompasses us. We have authority with anything in there, in body. Now remember, your body is not a kingdom jurisdiction yet. It's a jurisdiction of the earth. You got to get what's in the kingdom into your body. There's got to be a transference here. An atmospheric transference. You have to deal with things in an atmosphere. But ultimately, the plumb line belongs to the kingdom of God. See, God only needs a singular open heaven to do a whole lot of things. All he needs is a cylinder to come down. He can affect the whole city with one cylinder. He doesn't have to. But the Bible says the glory is going to cover the whole earth in the last days as the waters cover the sea. The plumb line authority is going to be greatly magnified. So we need more than just pray. We need to learn how to plumb line pray. We need to drop authority down. We need to dress within the plumb line. See, we need to have train intercessors how to do a different way. The hardest thing about training different intercessors is once they get a certain model, they just want to do the same thing over again. But we have to change. We got to learn to move from heaven to earth with authority. And be aware the angels are with us. Be aware the crown's with us. Be aware we're in the face of God. Be aware we can walk up and down, to and fro. We can move in and out of time. And I don't mean my body's just jerked out. People always get to saying, oh, I got to be jerked out of my body. No, the word of God can cause you to move outside of time. You can move in a position simply by the awareness of God. But all these are the plumb line operations. We address things from an atmospheric position. We address the second heaven principality, all earthly minions. We want it all to go. Drive it out. I would say, drive it out. When we can drive it out, we're going to have authority to operate. We're going to see the enemy's camp dismantled and the plumb line grow. God gives authority and dominion to do this. And that's how it works. The walk up and down in his name. We go up to exchange and get clothed. We come down with authority and dominion. You got to be speaking. This is how the job's going to get done. One person in the plumb line eventually is greater than 10,000 praying prayers because you're moving in sync with heaven. You're moving in the powers of the age to come. You're moving in the face of God. You've moved outside of time. You're moving into time. You're moving from future to now and commanding now to move to the future. All of this is part of the operation of the plumb line. I stand in the face of God. I see the end from the beginning. I come back in time and I say, this doesn't line up with what I see. I command you to follow me. He didn't say signs, miracles, and wonders will precede you. They'll follow you. It means you need to be ahead. You need to be in front. You need to be up in front. Say signs, miracles, and wonders follow. That means you're moving. You're not stuck in the mud. Signs, miracles, and wonders do not follow stagnated people. I'm going to say that again. Signs, miracles, and wonders do not follow stagnated people. Depressed people, signs, miracles, and wonders are not going to follow a depressed person around. They follow life. They follow faith. That means we need to learn a few things about how this works in practice. But it doesn't take a lot, but you got to do it. He expected them to mix faith all their life. Think about it. They're 40 years in the wilderness. He's talking about the whole time he wanted them mixing faith. Regardless, Caleb did it. Caleb was an inheritor. He inherited Mount Hebron. God said, you think you're going to inherit Mount Hebron being any less than him? Look at the people who inherited Mount Hebron, David, Caleb. They all had the same spirit about them, see. They had men of faith that could challenge the enemy. But God's given us something exceedingly great. The plumb line operation of the joint heirs to be able to send and descend in his name, be strengthened, walk to and fro, have the great seven spirits of God upon us in these last days. Part of our job is to get all this in the air. The foundation's been laid. It's all coming in now. This house is going to be revolutionized and transformed soon. It's going to be a house of baptism of the seven spirits of God, kind of like an Azusa Street. I'm just telling you. It's going to be where nations will come in to receive. And they'll say, what is this? And we're going to say, this was that that was spoken by the prophet Zechariah. This was that was spoken by the apostle John. This is that that was spoken. Because it's a new thing. It is a new thing. It's a latter rain of God coming down out of the heavens. The glory. It can be a lot easier to operate when all this is present. But we're called to bring it all in. But this is how he's doing it. It's the plumb line every day. Amen. You're ahead of the curve. Stay ahead. You get one shot in the kingdom. Take your shot. Be great for God. Go for it. Life's but a vapor. I mean, it's like a vapor. It just goes boom. It's gone. And then all eternity, all you do is thinking about what could have done this. I could have done that. I could. I remember this, Schindler's List. Anybody? Incredible movie. A true story about a businessman that was able, he was actually German, but he saved the Jewish people during this time, and he had a factory and they would build shells, but he made so much money, he didn't even have them actually building ammunition shells. He just acted like he did, but incredible. At the end of the movie, when the war was over, and he had saved like some 900, they called them Schindler Jews. He saved like 900 because they were killing them. I mean, just loading them up into trains. And he stopped one train, had to pay off generals and everything with diamonds. He said, look, I've got these people trained the way I do it. I can't retrain them. And they got all the way to Auschwitz and he pulled them back. They were in the gas chamber in Auschwitz and the general called it off. And instead of gas coming down, water came down, and they all took showers. They put them back on to the train, and he got them all back. He would save the children, everything. It was incredible. He ended up moving them to a city right before the war was over, and they lived there with a factory, and he wouldn't let any of the German soldiers. He had such authority and power with the generals that he wouldn't let anybody affect these Schindler Jews. And at the end, though, the very end, he came out, one of the guys, they would pluck their teeth out and take the gold from him. They forged a ring because they didn't have any money out of thankfulness. And they made a ring for him and he was so undone. He had his car. He started falling apart. He goes, oh my God. He took this watch off. He goes, this would have been five more. This car, I could have purchased 100 more. And everything he did, his clothes, and he was breaking apart. Because I could have saved more, and he was weeping in front of all 900 of them. They had all come around him. He goes, I could have done more. I could have done more. But they were saying, you did so much, but he goes, I could have done more. That's my point. We don't want to go into heaven and say, I could have done more. I can't be everything, but I can give God one thing he wants, his faith. If I can give him, it's like the alabaster box of costly perfume. The more you do it, the longer you do it, it becomes more and more costly. But it's a perfume we break out for his arrival. We're not anointing him for his death. We're anointing his arrival. We are a people that are anointing his arrival. And our faith is preparing a pathway. The highway of the King is coming through. The King of Glory is coming through. He's going to come through his word. And this word has been kept. Not because we're perfect. It's just because we keep it. It's growing and developing. The highway of Zion is going to usher in the seven spirits of God. And ultimately usher in the King of Glory. Thank you, Lord. For this amazing gift you've given us, Lord. Thank you for the revelations. We choose to mix the faith. This house be a habitation is pleasing to you. House built upon your word, built upon the mysteries of the end time, house built upon faith. Thank you for those who have continued in your word, though not many. Oh, let them be greatly strengthened. Thank you for the habitation of your glory. Thank you, Lord. This is our perfume. What we give daily to you, our faith, to break it open. We break it open to prepare for your arrival. Day of the resurrection's at hand. Amen.